In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Please be seated. Right at the beginning of this morning's gospel, Pilate confronts Jesus with a mountain of a question. Are you the King of the Jews? Now, such an inquiry ought to rattle the eardrums of all who hear it. For the answer purports an unequivocal understanding as to the person of Jesus and his relationship with the world and the cosmos around it. If Jesus truly is the Messiah, the King of the Jews, he would not only be God, as the prophets Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Zechariah foretold, but he would also be the creator of all things, as the psalmist declares in Psalm 102. Now, the Old Testament houses about 60 different prophecies with more than 300 references concerning the coming of Messiah, in order that when the Messiah did come, Israel would be clearly able to recognize him, and boy, did they ever. This morning's encounter with Pilate is a direct result of Israel's testimony against their God and Messiah. And they're handing him over to be condemned. The Jews have once and for all abandoned the teachings of the prophets and the eyes that marveled at the signs and wonders that Jesus performed as foretold by Scripture now look on disdainfully. And their voices, those same voices that once hailed him as their Messiah upon his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, now hiss at him in complete disgust. And why, may I ask? Because Jesus was a menace to the status quo. He caused too much of a fuss. He overturned the tables of money changers in the temple. He dined with sinners and healed many on the Sabbath. He humbled himself in all things, which clearly did not fit with Israel's perception of what a king should be. Therefore, Christ was a disruption to their peace. And it is with that thought that I'd like us to ponder further this morning, this notion of peace. Perhaps the most astounding thing that jumps out at me in this morning's gospel, which is a vocal exchange between Pilate and Christ, is that Jesus says in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Now, certainly, almost any other king, from the time of Saul until the world's end, if they were captured, they would expect, and in most instances, want their servants to fight for their release. But with Christ, it is not so. If he truly is the Son of God, as the Jews say in John chapter 19, verse 7, that they say he claims to be, he could summon an army of angels to his rescue at a moment's notice, and perhaps even much faster than that. But he elects not to do so, and in so doing, teaches the world that a true king overcomes the world not by a sword, but by peace. You see, Christ isn't concerned with the world in and of itself, but the souls within it. And for this reason, it was necessary for him to go to Golgotha and offer himself as a sacrifice for the souls of the world. Jesus Christ, as Paul's epistle in this morning declares, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He is the Lord of all that was, is, and will be, whether things on earth or in heaven, things visible or invisible, the fashioner of the stars in the endless sky, but also the creator of each grain of sand that rests upon the shores of our oceans. It is he that offered himself unto the world in order to restore all things, make all things new, making peace through the blood of his cross. The cross is the ultimate instrument of peace, and there is none greater. It is the instrument by which all of humanity will either rise or fall. The cross is an unmistakable symbol of victory, of resurrection, of life eternal, and of peace. Peace rests upon those that abide under the spectrum of the cross. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. It never seems to fail, you know. Every time I hear that passage of scripture, a feeling of calm comes over me, and I am at peace. It reminds me that no problem, no particular stressor that I may experience or be currently experiencing, none is too big for the peace that we have in Christ. But my friends, remember, the world will stop at nothing to steal this peace from you. Because for some, the cross of Christ is not an instrument of peace, but rather an instrument of intrusion or an egregious violation to their way of life. But sadly, this is because they don't know what true peace is. Either that, or they simply don't want it. Believe me, there are many that prefer chaos to peace. But that is inconsequential. For peace has already come into the world. Peace has saved the likes of you and me. And peace will be there waiting and welcoming even those that vehemently fight against it, should they surrender to Christ. That is why all martyrs die in the same way. Did you ever think about that? It is truly remarkable. From the stoning of Stephen to those students that were heinously gunned down at Umpqua Community College a few weeks ago, and all the Christian martyrs in between, their deaths are the same. They offered themselves up willingly and without incident. You see, Stephen was already dead before the first stone ever struck him. Likewise were those students prior to any bullet penetrating their flesh, for they had died to the world long ago and were already living in the peace of Christ, a peace that lives beyond this perishing world, but a peace that is eternal. I am in need of that peace. And aren't we all? Let us remember that peace is not about accomplishing numerous tasks by the end of a busy workday, nor is it found in having enough money to pay the bills, nor is it a particular place of rest and comfort. But true peace rests with those who live in Christ. Let us rejoice in that. And let us go forth into the world, proclaiming that peace. For it is a peace that has overcome the world, the peace of Christ, our King. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.